Welcome to episode 22 of Working Title Podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Paul Kane. Today I learn a lot about romance writing and its many tropes from author Tracy Livesay, who shares tips for aspiring writers of that genre. We discuss resources available to help authors, pitching agents at conferences, and engaging readers via social media and newsletters. Also, she answers readers' questions, and thank you to those who submitted them. Enjoy! Well, welcome, Tracy, to my podcast.
Thanks, Josh. I'm happy to be here.
Well, great. I'm going to start with a reader question.
Oh, okay.
So, Mia Soso asks, what do you love most about writing romance?
What I love the most about writing romance, I think it would be the endings, the happily ever afters.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that that's where my story ends means that I have more leeway and more freedom when it comes to the story I write, so that I can take them on, you know, high highs and low lows, because at the end they'll end up together. So making them work for that happily ever after, that's sort of like the fun part about writing romance. The other thing I love actually is meeting the other writers. It's just being in this community of strong, smart women who know their stuff, and who have your back, who understand the journey you're going on. That part I did not know and did not expect, and that has been a wonderful surprise to learn.
Oh, that sounds very nice.
It is.
Are there romance writers that you admire and whose work you especially enjoy?
There are lots of romance writers I admire a lot, and probably too many to name. I mean, there are women who I look up to for their books, just as being a reader and as a mm-hmm. fan. And mm-hmm. so Nalini Singh, I always mention her. She writes paranormal, but also contemporary romance. She is an auto buy for me. I buy whatever she writes. I'm a huge fan. I have stalked her at conventions, actually. Like, I came up to her once when she was getting breakfast and took a selfie. I feel kind of horrible, but not too much. Beverly Jenkins is another writer. She writes African-American historical fiction and contemporary as well. She's another person whose books I love. She's an author who I just love to talk to, because mm-hmm. she just knows so much. She has so much advice to give. And she just, I don't know, she's funny. She makes me laugh. But I also feel like I learn something every time we sit down together. And so those are like authors that I just love to read, and I'm a fan of theirs. But there are many authors who I admire that I watch, like on social media, like for their marketing acumen, or just the way they deal with issues that come up, or how they interact with their fans. Authors that I just sort of take a little bit from and apply to sort of how I'm moving through this space. It's a small community, but there are a lot of authors who just know their stuff, and a lot that I respect and look up to, for many different reasons.
What type of romance do you write?
I write contemporary romance. So it's romance that pretty much is, I think it's categorized maybe 1950s or 1960s to the present. But really what it means is something that's happening like right now in the modern day
mm-hmm.
Is what contemporary is. The definition of what contemporary romance is. I sometimes put it in the subgenre of interracial romance, because my hero and heroine are of different races, and that's something that I specifically write.
Mm-hmm.
And I started out sort of using that or defining it as that, as a way for people who were looking for that specifically to find it. Mm-hmm. What I've discovered in the past year or so is that that qualifier actually leads some people to believe that that race will be a huge part of my stories, which it is not. And so I'm having to sort of figure out how to rework that, whether to, you know, keep it in or not. But it's not actually a part of my story. Race, the conflict of race, isn't mm-hmm. a part of my stories. The interracial just defines the fact that the hero and heroine are of different races.
That's interesting. Do you feel pressure mm-hmm. to address those things in your writing?
Pressure probably isn't the right word. Like, I knew that I did not want to do that, and I know that there are books that are interracial romances where that is a huge part of it. So, you know, if that's something that readers are looking for, they can find it. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, probably like most writers, I wanted to write a book with characters that sort of reflected what I was looking for. And, you know, my husband is white. You know, we've been together almost 20 years.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And our relationship, race wasn't an issue, you know, between us. And mm-hmm. so as I'm reading, you know, romance, which is the genre that I love to read before I started writing, I would look for stories that reflected our relationship and did not see those. And so when I decided that this is what I wanted to write, I did make a conscious decision to write interracial. But it was going to be, I just wanted to write a romance with two people, you know, who were of different races, but follow the same sort of romance arc that every other romance followed, that race mm-hmm. wasn't going to be an issue at all. And it didn't occur to me that there would be people who would be looking for race to be addressed in my books because they were labeled as interracial. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect that, but, you know, again, what I say is if that's what you're looking for, there are people who write that. That's not what I write, but, you know, still take a chance. Read the book. You'll love it. So, yeah.
Well, I'm not a romance reader per se, so but I would think if you're...
We will change that, Josh. We're going to change that.
Fair enough. But yeah. I would think if someone who's picking up a romance book, conflict is not the kind of thing they're looking for. I would think they want to be transported to this, you know, wonderful, of course there'll be, you know, ups and downs like you mentioned, but I would think right. overall it's a lighthearted more than a grounded.
No, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. And so, you know, when we talk about conflict and romance, as in most fiction, you're sort of talking about an internal conflict mm-hmm. and an external, you know,
okay.
conflict.
See,
and
I'm learning things. Great.
Yeah. And so there are romances can be very sort of sweet in both the voice of the story or the mm-hmm. tone of the story can be very sweet and light. But they can also be very dark, what we might call angsty books with, you know, lots of sort of deep internal and external conflict in the book. So honestly, whatever you enjoy reading, whether it's a light, fun, flirty, airy read or something that's more, you know, deep, gritty, dark, there is a romance for you.
Okay.
Yeah, it's there. The one thing you're guaranteed is that at the end, your hero and heroine will end up together.
Right.
That they will be in a, you know, emotionally satisfying ending. And I should say hero or heroine, your two main people mm-hmm. will end up in an emotionally satisfying conclusion. They will end up together, but how they get there can be very dark and very traumatic. So
oh,
it just depends on the author. Mm-hmm.
Well, the
Well,
I'll like to learn some more. So if with a romance genre, are the tropes where they don't know each other at the beginning and then they get to know each other, or could they start off as a couple and then have something that takes them apart and then they get back together?
Right. Or I would probably say, and I cannot stand by these numbers.
This
is just my general impression, would be that I would say maybe 80 to 85% of romances are going to start out I'm just going to say hero and heroine, but please keep in mind I also can be hero, heroine, and heroine.
Right, right.
But with your hero or heroine not together as a couple. Now,
okay. Mm-hmm.
They cannot be together as a couple and know each other because they work together or are friends or something like that. But generally, they aren't together as a couple.
Okay.
You will find in a growing niche, romances where maybe the couple was married and then got divorced and then, you know, go on a journey to come back together, or that they are married and maybe are working through some things. They have to go on a journey to end up in a better place. There is a sort of genre of romance that follows sort of that, where the couple is already together. But for the most part, your two protagonists are not together in the beginning of the story.
Okay. I appreciate knowing that.
Sure.
How long have you been writing romance novels? Or writing in general, really?
Oh, writing. I've been writing probably since is what most writers say, since I was a kid. Like, I wrote plays for church. I wrote really bad poetry in high school. in college, when I would procrastinate and not want to do my work, I would go over to the computer lab, because that's how old I am, where we had a lab with computers in them. And I would go to the computer lab and spend like 2 or 3 hours, and I would write these short stories that were, you know, romance stories, but they were based on my friends. One friend would have a crush on some guy, so I would go and, instead of studying organic chemistry, I would go and, you know, spend some hours writing a short story featuring, you know, my friend and her crush or something. So if I never got here professionally, I think in some manner I would have always been writing, because it's something I've always done, something I've always enjoyed doing.
Yeah. And so you've been now. Did you go the traditional publishing route? Did you seek out an agent and then get an editor?
Yes, I did. So when, I guess it would be 2010, maybe 2011 is when I seriously started thinking that I might want to do this professionally.
Mm-hmm.
And that was right before self-publishing blew up.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was looking at it, I was thinking, like, can you hear that?
Yeah, what is that?
That is the smoke alarm, because, yes, other people. Yes, that's my daughter. I'm not even going to think about it. The house is still standing. No one's yelling for me to evacuate, so I'm assuming it's okay.
Thank God.
So when I was thinking about if this was something that I could do professionally, you know, I had to formulate a plan, because I'm a lawyer. That's the other part of my brain working, sort of like
analytic.
Let's set up. There it goes again. Maybe we do have to evacuate. I don't know. But so at that time, the way that you got published was through traditional publisher. And so that meant that you had to go through an agent, unless you were targeting publishers who accepted unagented work. So some romance publishers, like Harlequin, would accept manuscripts from writers who didn't have agents. So if you were looking to write for them or submit to them, you didn't need an agent. But mm-hmm. in my head, my thought always was I wanted to get an agent first, and then I wanted to sort of move on from there, because I was thinking not only just submitting to publishers, but someone to help me guide my career, to answer questions, to say, you know, hey, you've been doing this type for a while. The market's going this way. Mm-hmm. Have you ever considered this? Or, you know, that sort of thing. I wanted guidance as well. And for me, it was always about first thing I was going to do was get an agent, and then we would go out to publishers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so then what, so did you write queries and so forth?
Okay, so I'm a member of Romance Writers of America. And the wonderful thing about RWA is it gives you information and access that you wouldn't ordinarily get. And again, at this time, that's key. That's, you know, that's important, because you there was self-publishing, but it was small and it was sort of frowned upon back then. Right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So at that time, access to editors and agents was important. And so I went to my chapter's conference. We held a 3-day conference in Virginia Beach, and we invited some editors and agents. And it was also going to be my first year going to Romance Writers of America's national conference. So I signed up to pitch to a couple of editors and a couple of agents who are going to be at the smaller conference, sort of as practice mm-hmm. for the bigger conference, because the bigger conference, you know, they may get 20 or 30 editors or agents. And I think at the smaller conference, there was maybe three agents and maybe a handful of editors. So I thought the smaller conference would be a good opportunity to practice my pitch, you know, just sort of see how I feel, work out the kinks, and then I would be ready for the big conference. Obviously, I did my research on the agents. I didn't want to waste anyone's time. I didn't want to pitch to an agent who wasn't even going to, who wasn't looking to represent anyone who wrote what I wrote. So mm-hmm. I did my research, and there was actually just one agent who I really thought was, you know, someone who would represent what I wrote and who I would like to work with. Mm-hmm. But again, I just thought this was just practice. It turns out, though, that she liked my pitch. And so after I pitched to her, she asked me to send her my full manuscript, which I had. And probably within 2 months, I had an agent. So that's how it worked out. Aww. Yeah.
That seems pretty quick.
It is, and I know that sounds horrible, but I think part of it was that I had done my research. Strict about that. I didn't, you know, go to the other agents because none of them were looking for what I was writing at the time. So I think knowing that the person I was pitching to actually was interested in representing what I wrote, working on my pitch, you know, I had that sort of down. I think that helped as well. So, and then the other stuff just was I was prepared and I was in the right situation, and it all just sort of worked out.
For our listeners, can you be any more specific about how you researched this agent or agents in general?
Sure.
So you can prepare yourself and have the success you had.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, the conference had listed the names of the agents who were coming. Mm-hmm. And so I just did a simple Google search, pulled up the website of the agency, and it's, you know, it says sort of what they're looking for. Most agencies will have a page that will say, you know, we are accepting, or this is what we're looking for now. And you could see sort of, they say what type of work they're looking, what type of authors they want to represent. So some of the authors were like, we're looking for authors who write young adult, or mm-hmm. we're looking for historical, or we're looking for paranormal. I was looking for, I was writing contemporary, and at the time I was writing what was called category contemporary. So those are like the Harlequin books, the stories that are about 50,000 words. Mm-hmm. And so I was looking for someone who, even though Harlequin doesn't require an agent, I was still looking for someone who would be my agent if that was the way that I was going to go. And so this particular agency had an agent who actually was an editor for a similar house, you know, some years ago. And she was interested in acquiring authors who wrote those small category books. And so when I saw that, I was like, okay, this is somebody that I could work with at least.
Okay.
So, yeah. And that's all you have to do. I mean, just pull up their site and look and see what they specifically ask for. They'll also have a page on there with the list of all the authors that the entire agency represents. Mm-hmm. And so look at the list of authors and see, you know, who on there you recognize and what type of writing they do. That'll tell you a lot. It only takes a few minutes to do.
Oh, okay. Were you nervous when you pitched to the person?
I was nervous, but I'm one of those people who I'm nervous about the unknown.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Once I do it, I'm like, oh, this is fine. And right. So I was nervous because it was my first time doing it.
It's worse in your head.
Right? It's always worse in your head. But you know, I did a lot of trial work before in my previous life before kids. When I practiced law, I did a lot of trial work. I like being in court. Mm-hmm. And so something also just sort of kicks in when it's time to be on, you know? And so I'm nervous. Like when we did our panel together, mm-hmm. For James River Writers beforehand, I'm nervous. Yeah. I get up there and then you just do it.
Yes. It was fun. Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. And that was a crowd. I couldn't believe how many people showed up. That was amazing. Yeah.
Well, they came for you. That's why.
No, I was going to say they came for you. They came for us.
Okay. Fair enough. And the other two.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, wonderful. I'm glad it worked out that way for you.
Yeah, it was good. And then, again, when I tell the story, I kind of feel like, oh, you know, sure, it was her first pitch and she gets her agent. But I can't stress enough how much being prepared beforehand really helps.
Sure, I agree. Yeah, it makes a difference, I'm sure. Yeah. I think it's better face-to-face, though, as maybe nervous as you might be, I would rather be able to face-to-face pitch to an agent rather than a query letter and just send it out and never see that person and gauge the reaction.
I think so, because I think they can, you know, they can see something. Like, whereas we've all sort of had an incident where maybe something we've written has been taken the wrong way. I'm thinking like a text, a tweet or something. Mm-hmm. You can't always gauge inflection.
Correct.
Or something like that. But, you know, in face to face, they can sort of, you know, see if you're nervous. They can sort of feel your energy. And also, like, you know, with a query, with a letter that you're sending, that's your shot. You know what I'm saying? Like, they read it and that's it. But say I'm in a pitch session and I give my elevator pitch and it may not be the best, but there's something in it that might interest her. So maybe she comes back at me with a question and then I can answer her question. And then that question, my answer to her question, she's like, oh, that sounds interesting. Tell me more about this. And so you get, I think you have, you know, more opportunity to sort of sell your pitch in a pitch session than you may do in just a query letter. I'm not even the industry has changed so much. I'm not even sure how much people do just standard query letters anymore. Now you can do a pitch session on Twitter or Facebook and get like that instant feedback. So
Yeah, that's well put. Do you have any tips for new aspiring romance writers?
Oh, so many tips. About pitching or?
Or no, just general. Any of our listeners who are interested in writing romance, what are some advice you might have for them?
I would say, number one, research and know the industry. Mm-hmm. It's on the cutting edge of everything. And so, like, digital books or, you know, e-books, romance was there. Different genres, romance is there. Like, and because of that, things go so fast. Trends go so fast. You could be reading a book one day, and while you're reading it, think, oh, that's the hot new trend. I should write that. And then maybe by the time you write it and publish it, if you self-publish, the trend has changed. Mm-hmm. You know? So just sort of, I think, understanding how the industry works is huge. It's, like I said, it's a small community. People know each other. You save yourself a lot of heartache. There's been a lot of stuff going on, like online with certain authors. And I often think that if they just sort of had taken the time to know the industry before they stepped their toes into it, a lot of hassle could have been avoided. Mm-hmm. I would say, you don't have to join Romance Writers of America, but if you can find a local chapter that's near you, maybe stop in for a meeting or two. I think you'll be surprised at how welcoming they are, and then at how much information you learn, how much information you have access to. I would not be published and where I am if it weren't for Romance Writers of America. I have no doubt about that, at least at the time that I first started being published. I don't know what would be if I came into it today, mm-hmm. but I definitely think that RWA is a great tool to have access to. And then the third thing I would say is be in it for the long haul. Like, it's not a thing where you're going to, like, publish one book and be successful. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to, in your mind, say, if this is what I want to do, that I have to be, like, thinking marathon, not sprint.
Right. Do you write, is each book its own story, like, it's a new characters each book, or are you writing a series?
Well, I tend to write... Well, I have 5 books out. Mm-hmm. 2 is one series, and then 3 is another series. And okay. So I tend to think in series, but I think that's because that's sort of where the industry is at this moment.
Oh, okay.
They're sort of feeding into readers liking linked stories. And people approach series in different ways. So you may have someone who write a series of books, excuse me, that has the same characters throughout. Mm-hmm. The same person is the protagonist, and there may be a romance story in it with the same person. I think you usually probably find those in maybe a paranormal or romantic suspense where the external conflict carries the book mostly, mm-hmm. and you have a romantic couple, and that romantic journey probably isn't the forefront. They're still sort of solving their romantic issues, but they're focused on some external thing.
Okay.
So that's why I think he would find that type of series more in a romantic suspense or paranormal. Mm-hmm. But the way I sort of write my series is just think of like a group of friends, and that each friend in that group will have their own story. Right. And so each book will be standalone. There'll be a new couple in each book, but characters may recur because they're all friends and they all run in the same circle.
Oh. Was a series what you had in mind from the very start, or is it something that grew out of it organically? Like you completed the first book and you said, you know, there's more here now that I can, you know, continue on.
The first book I wrote that I got published, I wrote it just for that book. Mm-hmm. But I've been reading romance for like since I was 12 or 13. And mm-hmm. so as a reader, I kind of knew that idea of like planting a person in this book that should things work out, they may get their own book, you okay. know? And mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that I thought about it and that, oh, this is definitely a series, but I did understand that if I write this book and fans respond to it and I can write another book that they may, you know, they may grab onto the secondary character and say, hey, I like him. Where's his book?
So
I did that. That's how the first two books in the series came about. When I did the second series of books, that was planned as a series. So I knew that it was going to be three books. And so as I was writing the first one, I was aware that it's going to be this hero and then his two friends, and they're going to get their own books, you know, next in line.
Okay. Well, you mentioned about having a family, and I wanted to pivot to a different set of questions. We'll start with a question from one of your readers. This is Anita at Anita_postcards. And she asked, has your husband read any of your books? What does he think of your stories? And generally, is there a male demographic for romance novels?
Okay. Hi, Anita. thank you for your question. Anita has the best website. I know you participated in her website, right, Josh? The postcards?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
Authors and Postcards.
Very nice person. Yeah.
Yes. Very nice person. That's a great website, so guys should check that out. Postcards and Authors, I believe is what it's called. Google it. for the question. So my husband is not a romance fan, right?
No, okay.
I shouldn't say he's not a fan. He's not a reader. He's not a reader of romance.
So I'm not the only one.
You are not the only one,
okay,
no.
Okay.
And before we met, it probably never would have crossed his mind to even think about romance novels as a genre or to even think about picking them up. And I remember in the early days hearing about authors and they would say, oh, my husband reads every book, or he proofreads my books, blah, blah, blah. And I would be so like, well, why doesn't my husband read my books? But it's just not his thing. So I had to let that go. I had to let go the idea that he would, you know, like just magically, you know, read my books and whatever.
That wasn't in the vows, right?
No, I know. I should have put it in the vows if I had known. I will say he actually read, surprised me and read my first book. Mm-hmm. Years later, and it was a surprise to me, and he liked it, and he was surprised at how much he enjoyed it. I don't know what he thought romance novels were, but we ended up having a really good discussion about it, and I don't know, I kind of took a little bit of pleasure in the fact that he was so shocked at, I don't know how good it was, or that there was more than maybe just sex on the pages. I don't know what he thought it was going to be. And for me, I'm like, cool. He's read one. He knows what I'm doing. That's enough for me. He does read all of my acknowledgments because he now knows that I mention him and my kids and all of them. So he does read all of the acknowledgments.
Aww.
So I take it. I'm like, that's great. I couldn't tell you the number. I think it may be maybe under 10%, but there is a male demographic for romance novels. And not only that, but we're having more authors who write romance. So it is there. It is there. Yeah.
All right. Now, with a family, how do you balance family time with writing? What's your routine if you have one? Do you have a discipline?
God, Josh, I wish I could be more disciplined. I want to be. I think I would write faster. Maybe I'd write more if I had a better routine.
Mm-hmm.
I just, what happens really is I dilly-dally for a few months. And I like to say, like, the book is working its way in my head. You know, like, I am a plotter.
Okay.
So I do a lot of plotting and research and a lot of that ahead of time, too. So I would say in maybe a three-month period, I'm thinking about it a lot. I'm thinking about it. I'm writing some. I'm thinking about it a lot. And then when I get to about 6 weeks to my deadline, I'm like, holy crap. And then I just sort of lock myself in the office and I get it done. And I make everyone miserable. Uh-huh. And I've got to figure out a better way. Uh-huh. Better way. But like, you know, I have three kids. My oldest turns 15 at the end of this month. And then I have a 13 and 12. And they do a lot of stuff. And it just takes up a lot of time. And then my husband, he does work from home. And so they take up a lot of time. So I do what I can. That's the best answer I have. I'm sorry, people. I wish I could be more disciplined. I'm just not.
Do you write in the home or do you go out? Or do you...
I do. I have an office at home. Okay. Yes, that I write. Sometimes I have friends who are kind of in the area. They're maybe 20 minutes away. So there are times when we'll agree to meet out somewhere to write together. But honestly, I tend to get more at home if I can get in the office and shut the door and get the work done.
Okay.
But that part is difficult.
Oh.
When I can get in here, I do tend to get to be very, very productive. So I just have to increase when I can get into the office.
I see.
Yeah.
Do you have in your office, is the environment conducive to your writing? Do you have like, music playing? Do you have like posters of inspiration?
I don't do music. I can't do music because it makes me want to sing. I like white noise. Okay. So I have the app, the Simply Rain and Simply Beach app, and so I thunderstorms and like the waves pounding against the shore.
That sounds very soothing.
I
might look into that.
It is. When I put my earbuds in with those on, it's great. I can't write to anything, you know, to any other sort of noise. It has to be that. I used to light candles. Sometimes I still do. It's sort of a cue to myself, like this is your time. Mm-hmm. But that, you know, that feels a little precious now. So if I can just get in here and get my white noise on, I'm good to go. Yeah.
Are there, whether it's reading or watching movies, are there romance movies that inspire you in your writing? I don't know about specific plot points or anything, but I mean, just get you into the mood of writing or just in general, just say, you know, make you positive about your endeavor.
I love movies, love romantic movies. My husband and I, you know, we watch a lot of movies. I don't think it's so much that I throw one on to get me sort of like in the frame of mind, but they do help me as I'm trying to figure out plot things. So like for my last release, which was Love Will Always Remember, it was an amnesia trope. Mm-hmm. And when I pitched it to my editor, I pitched it as Regarding Henry Meets While You Were Sleeping.
Oh,
and so
wow.
in that way, like I can take movies. But then like when I'm writing the book, I can't watch those movies. Like they're like, I can't look at them or think about them because I've got to, you know, focus on the book and I don't want to have that influence the book, but it's a way for me to keep in mind, this is what I said, this is where I'm going, this is, you know, this is the path that I'm following.
Oh.
So it does help me in that way. And then there are just times when you just get so, I get so burned out from writing. I don't want to think about these people. I don't want to think about, you know, whatever's going on. And that I will just like take a couple hours and just watch a movie, just to sort of relax. And then I will watch a romance movie. So whether it's like, you know, Pride and Prejudice, is one of my favorites. The, Keira Knightley and Matthew McFadden. That's my favorite. I know everyone else loves Colin Firth's version, but no, I'm the Keira Knightley version. That's my favorite. I'll watch that. I'm going on the spot now. But yeah, so I'll do that, and that will sort of help me relax and whatever blockage I'm having, you know, uncork it, and then I can get back to work.
Well, I remember regarding Henry with Harrison Ford.
Yes, I love that movie. That's such a good movie.
Yeah, I used a bit of it in my own book with the shoelaces. Remember he needed to relearn to tie his shoes?
Yes, he was so like about her in the beginning and then at the end, well, not the end, but after, he had his accident and she had to show him. But I love the idea of, and that's what I took from my book, the idea of someone who was one way and had something happen to them and then, you know, was an entirely different person. And then learned about who they were before and had to decide, you know, is this who I want to be? You know, which person do I want to be? So.
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very fascinating.
Thank you.
Okay, I wanted to now turn to just how you promote yourself, how you engage your readers. Do you get feedback from them? If you do get feedback from them, does that influence your stories and things like that? So.
I do hear from readers. I'm on social media. As you have to kind of be today in publishing, especially in romance. Gone are the days where you just publish your book and people buy it and it's like, hey, you know, like that, those days are gone. So you have to sort of put yourself out there. And it started for me actually before I even published my first book. So while I was writing that book, when we were going out to publishers, like before, when I said to myself, this is what I want to do, that's when I got on social media. And so I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That's probably where I am the most consistently. It takes a lot of time, so I am not the best at it, but I try to be consistent on them. And that's where I hear from my fans the most. I think I would say I probably hear from my fans the most on Facebook.
Okay.
And I don't actually – oh, this sounds horrible. Okay, so I don't let what – they say affect the stories I write.
Okay.
Right. And I don't mean that in like a harsh way, like what, you know, like I don't take in input or feedback, because I do. But the other part of it is that the stories I write are sort of my voice, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the idea is that readers are reading my stories because they are interested in like my voice and the way I tell the story. And so I have to stay true to that because that's, you know, that's who I am. I mean, there are, you know, let's just say there are 50 authors who, you know, who are writing an amnesia story.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. But the way I tell the story, what I emphasize, what's important to me, that's my voice. And so my readers are reading my story for that, for that viewpoint. And that's what I have to stay true to. And so while, you know, everyone's opinion is valid, I sort of just stay true to my voice and the story that I want to tell. And I hope that my readers and the people who enjoy reading my books will trust that too and follow along with me, you know, in my stories.
And what are ways that when you're on one form of social media or another, how do you engage them? Do you pose questions? Do you just answer their questions? What's a typical way you talk with your readers?
Well, each medium is different. Mm-hmm. And so Facebook, for example, because that's where I tend to interact more with readers, it's more open-ended. And I do ask more questions. And I try to give a sense of my personality as well. So on my Facebook author page, just Tracy Livesey author on Facebook. I talk about purses because I love designer purses. So anyone who follows me knows that. So I'll have a post usually once a week where I talk about designer purses. Okay. And I love TV. So there may be a post about TV in there. Right now I am on this kick to get healthier. I'm working out with my husband and as a way to kind of motivate me, he buys me these cool t-shirts with these sayings on them. So I'll post a picture of me wearing that t-shirt, you know, once every couple weeks of the different slogans or whatever. And so it's a way to, like I said, get some of my personality out there, but I also ask questions. So if it's about the purses, I'll like post a picture of three or four and say, which one would you like or which one do you think is silly? I'll ask people what TV shows they're watching or, you know, that sort of thing. And it's not about my book, right? So we're connecting, we're talking, we're having conversations. No one wants 24/7, this is my book, buy my book, this
of
is
course.
My book,
buy
my book, right?
That's important.
So,
right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so for, you know, like this year, what is this, 2018? Because 2018, I don't have a release. I think my book might be coming out in December, but I haven't announced it because I'm not sure. But say I don't have a release in 2018, I'm not going to talk about my books a lot. I'm just going to continue to put out content that, you know, gives my fans a chance to interact with me and get to know me better and build relationships and have conversations. And then maybe when my book goes on sale, I might put something up.
Right.
The Love Will Always Remember actually just won an Emma Award for Best Interracial Romance. And so
congratulations.
Thank you. I was very excited about that.
Wonderful.
So, you know, that happens and I'll put that up. None of that is, you know, buy my book.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, again, it lets my fans know what's going on.
Right.
It reminds people that a book is out there. So if they haven't purchased it, maybe they would like to. And then when I write a few books, you know, you can check them out if you want to, but let's get back to the good stuff, you know. And then if my book, you know, does come out in December when I have an announcement to make about that, then you know, people will tolerate, you know, some weeks of just a whole bunch of promo about the book because that's not what I usually do.
Right.
And hopefully by that time, they're fans of mine and they want to read it, you know, that sort of thing. And then once that sort of period ends, I go back to all the other stuff I want to talk to.
Okay.
On Twitter, it's more me personally.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's just like me talking about TV shows or politics or talking to other people. Like that's just me.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have some fans that have, you know, that find me on Facebook, I mean on Twitter, and we'll have little discussions. But I would say Twitter is probably where I am me. Like if you saw me at a party,
okay,
that's me on Twitter. And then Instagram, I'm not an expert on Instagram. I know it skews way young, but if I have some pictures like the shirts that I wear with the little slogans or something like that, I'll put that up on Instagram.
Okay.
But I'm not sure how much traction I get from fans on Instagram.
Oh. Do you find that people who follow you on one follow you on the other, or is it kind of segregated where, you know, Twitter people tend to be on Twitter only and Facebook people only?
I think for the casual reader, like just the person who just only is interested in me as an author who just, you know, reads my books, I think those people are probably a one or the other.
Okay.
I think the people that I overlap with on the different social media are either other authors or people who are just like seriously plugged into social media. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and they're usually younger. If they're not authors, they're just usually younger because younger kids just are, you know, on different things. But if they are older and they are just a fan of romance and they just know me from reading books, they are probably going to be Facebook.
Okay.
That's probably where I'm talking to them.
How about demographic as far as, because, you know, Anita asked about male demographics. Do you, I imagine it's predominantly women who follow you. But do you find a surprising amount of men who also follow you for your writing? Or?
So it's predominantly women.
Okay, yeah.
And if I have a male fan,
mm-hmm.
It's somebody that I've met.
Oh, okay.
Or it's somebody who I know because other authors know.
Mm-hmm.
It's in day and age, especially on Facebook, you know, you got to be careful about sort of who you interact with. And so if I get a request from a male and I check their profile and they just have two pictures or they, you know, they just joined, you know, like a month ago, I tend to sort of back away.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, you got to kind of be careful about who. But, you know, if someone approaches me or responds to a post and it's and it's genuine and it's based actually on what the post says, it's not something that's generic or whatever, I'll definitely respond. But I mean, I want to say 99% of the people that follow me on Facebook definitely are female.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
But now you have a newsletter.
I do.
How's that going? How long have you had it, and what do you put in it, and what kind of feedback do you get on that?
So newsletters,
I stopped you.
So I was trying to think about how to answer it. I could be better at my newsletters. It used to be that we should do newsletters, and then social media got huge, and so mm-hmm. then everyone put all of their energy into social media, right? And then it's been like in the past 2 or 3 years, I think, that there's been a renewed emphasis on newsletters, because newsletters and your list is the thing that you own.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one direct point of contact with your fans that nobody can take away from you.
Okay.
Your editor, your publishers don't own it. It's yours,
mm-hmm.
right? Like Facebook could come out tomorrow and just say, we're done, and like take Facebook down or swipe like half of my users and my followers. And then what am I going to do? But my newsletter list is mine. Those names are always there, and I could just talk to them directly. And, that point of contact. So I've really been working on trying to build up my newsletter. It's been slow going, and I'm still trying to figure out what to include in my newsletter. Like, I don't want to send it too much. I know authors who send newsletters weekly. I just don't have the time for that. I don't think there's anything in my life that's that interesting that anybody would want to hear from me. you know, every week. And so I'm trying to find the balance. I think with my newsletter, whereas like on social media, I don't want to always be buy my book. With my newsletters, I'm kind of taking it as I only want to send it out when I have something going on.
Okay.
And so like in May, for some reason, I had like between May and the first week in June, I had like 5 events. And so I sent out a newsletter at the end of April, just saying, this is what's coming up. If you, you know, if you're in the area and you want to come out and see me, this mm-hmm. is where I am.
Right.
And I'm, yeah. And I might send one out again at the end of the summer and just say, these are the things I've done, and have some pictures again, just sort of as a way to connect and say, you know, this is what I've been doing. This is what's going on. And then obviously when I have a book coming out, I'll send one. But yeah, that's just sort of where I am right now. I'm not going to be that once a week, once a month mm-hmm. person. There's just so much other stuff to do. You know, I don't know how to fit it all in.
Understandable.
Yeah.
How about if you weren't writing romance, what mm-hmm. other genre would you write in?
I know that I would write mystery.
Okay.
I love mystery. Yeah. And I would do, oh my gosh, what are they cooking?
Or burning.
Or burning. I would do a mystery, and I would do some sort of cozy mystery where, like, okay, so I love Murder, She Wrote. That is my show. I love that show so much. I still watch it. Like at night, I just throw it on just before bed. It just relaxes me, which is crazy, but it does. And so I would write something like that, like a cozy mystery with with an amateur detective, mm-hmm. probably someone who designs purses so I could like right. tie my loves together, you know. But that's what I would do.
Oh man. This is a final question from a reader. This is Renee W. Please give details about the next book. What are the possible release date? How long does it take to write one book? What is your process? Which I think we covered a bit.
Yes. So, all right. So I don't have a definite release date for my next book. I think it's December. But I always say, as soon as I know for sure, my fans will know. So as soon as I know for sure, the first people who will know will be the people on my newsletter.
Okay.
And then I'll put it on my Facebook author page. I can tell you that the new series is based on my friendships. And so there's a group of 5 of us who went to college together. We met first year college. We were all in the same dorm, and we stayed friends through college. And after we graduated, we have gone on vacation together every year since then.
Oh,
yes. And so, we have our own system. We worked it out. Some vacations have been shorter than others, but every year we have gone away together. And so my newest series is kind of based on a group of friends who, met in college and do the same thing. They go away together on vacation, every year. So it's kind of loosely based on that. And the first story, follows one of the friends. And so it kind of starts with you seeing them together on vacation. So you get an idea of the group dynamic, and then it moves into one friend's story. And the idea is that, each book will sort of give you a little bit of a vacation with the friends before it follows one friend on her story journey. And that's all I can tell right now.
Oh, okay. And I think you may have alluded to it at least. How long does it take for you to typically write a book?
I don't know, and people should know this. I mean, I would say that if I could sit down and write just for a few hours every day, I could probably do my first draft in maybe 2 months. And that's because I am a plotter. So, that just means that I plot and things before I write one word of my story. So I start out with, a character sheet, but not about, superficial sort of like eye color, hair color things, but I sort of talk about, or figure out what their internal issues are so that, I can know what my internal conflict arcs are going to be. So that's what I do. I also figure out what the external plot of the story will be. And then I sit down and marry that into plot points. What's going to be my, inciting incident? What's going to be, my first turning point? What's going to be my midpoint? What's going to be my climax? What's going to be my end? And then once I sort of have all of that sort of in a framework, I write a fast first draft. I wish fast meant like faster, as if I could write that really quickly. But really what it means is I don't edit. I just write a sloppy first draft. I don't go back and look at anything. I don't edit as I write. I just sort of write out the story. And then I go back and revise and make it pretty and make me sound smart and do all of that stuff. I would say that if I had the discipline and could do it straight, I could probably write a book in maybe 5 or 6 months. I'm going to go with that. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
Well, I'll just finish up with just how do people find you on your, plug your website and.
Okay. Yes. So my website is TracyLivesey.com. On Facebook, my Facebook author page is Tracy Livesey Author. I'm on Twitter at T Livesey, which is LIVESAY. So at TLIVESAY. And I'm on Instagram, at Tracy.Livesey. And I am in all of those places. If not daily, definitely, 2 or 3 times a week. So if anyone wants to reach out to me, send me a message. I'd love to chat. I am talkative. Come find me.
Well, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Josh. This flew by, and I had a great time. Thank you so much for asking me to do this.
Oh, you're welcome. I enjoyed it myself. I hope I did all right on my end.
You did. Yes, you did. You were great.
Well, I appreciate it. I was a little self-conscious for some reason. I don't know.
I don't know why. You're great. I love your interviews.
Oh.
I did. I've listened to some of the interviews in the past. As my research, because I told you I research, and I do. I love the questions you ask, and you always have so many. Like, you keep going, so I love it. It's great.
Well, like you, I try to be prepared. So.
Yes.
Well, thank you again, and good luck with your forthcoming book, and I hope to see you soon.
Thank you, Josh. You too.
All right, take care.
Take care.